Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, episode 1841. I missed you guys last week. I hope you had a blessed, blessed Thanksgiving, and you've had a great week this week. We're back in the saddle. We've got a lot of things going on. We've got a one-time pad exercise coming up. All the young partisans getting yourselves ready. Hopefully, if you haven't done so, get over to RadioFreeRedoubt.com and watch the video. Look at the posting about how you can have a chance to win a 600 shot Red Ryder carbine action BB gun from the Daisy Museum with a compass in the stock and a thing which tells time, and it's all there over there. How to participate and how to decrypt a secret one-time message. All the instructions are going to be posted next week. You'll know exactly what to do. And the numbers will be put out. The secret coded message will be put out, where you'll have to write that down, decrypt it, and you'll have a whole week to get that done and send it in. You got to have it in by midnight on Saturday, the 15th. And the number will be drawn and announced. You'll be contacted. Now, I got some great news here, because, you know, I just these kids, they pour their hearts into it. So we're going to give away grand prize, the BB gun rifle, and then a second and third place prizes. So we always come up with something fun and exciting and educational and useful for the kids. That's something that they can really enjoy. But this year we had a partisan step forward, Katie Armour, one of our longtime supporters and sponsors. Katie Armour also went out of their way to acquire yet another collector edition, limited edition, 35-year anniversary edition of the Red Ryder BB gun. We have two grand prizes we'll be giving away this year. Did you hear that? You got two chances. Well, you got one chance to win, but we're going to be giving away two Red Ryder BB gun carbine action rifles with compass in the stock and a thing which tells time. That's right. Two limited edition collector pieces from the Red Ryder Daisy Museum. That was donated. The second one was donated. I just found out today. Just talked to him today from Katie Armour. That's Come and Take It. Katie Armour, a longtime supporters of Radio Free Redoubt. Great friends. And they are throwing in another one. So go watch that video and get ready next week, kids, if you're 17 or younger, to win a collector piece. So that's for and runner-up prizes as well. So pretty darn exciting. It is the season. It is the holiday season. It's very exciting. But I'll tell you what, let's get into the news and commentary. Brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. All 10 books are out, including the audiobooks. So check them out at 299days.com. The former, well, I should say, my commander-in-chief when I was in the military, when I went to war, passed away yesterday. The senior Bush, former President George H.W. Bush is returning to Washington as a revered political statesman hailed by leaders across the political spectrum and around the world as a man not only of greatness, but also of uncommon decency and kindness. He was a nice man. Sadly, he was a globalist. He put globalism ahead of Americanism. And so For America, it's we lost a really nice guy. That's about all I'll say on that. Air Force Times. China aims to defeat the U.S. Air Force without firing a shot, and here's how. What does this mean? This is coming from the Air Force Times. Propaganda for our Air Force personnel. Supposedly cover, you know, updated articles, but I remember the Air Force Times was, they were coming out weekly, I think, with some type of propaganda piece showing how much the people in the Air Force support LGBT rights and transgender stuff and all this nonsense in the military. When everybody you talked to said, they didn't poll me. Nobody I talked to, everybody I talked to about this is disgusted by it. But no, that's not what the Air Force Times said. They said, you're all supportive of it. You just didn't know it yet. So now these guys are coming out with another piece saying China aims to defeat the U.S. Air Force without firing a shot, and here's how. This is the title of the article. And they go on to this. This says, a new study highlights China's growing air power and warns that China is looking to build out its air force to the point that the U.S. would not be willing to take it on in direct conflict. The Project Air Force team at RAND Corporation describes an emerging Chinese Air Force that aims to rival the United States' own, both technologically and strategically, often by mirroring U.S. military capabilities and doctrine. Of course, Chinese, the communist Chinese, have always been really wonderful at copying, stealing ideas, and not ever coming up with anything original of their own. Piracy. So they said, it's important to recognize that many of the PLA, People's Liberation Army, efforts in the military aerospace sector focus on fielding of specific capabilities in sufficient quantities to deter the United States from entering a conflict. So with the help of the Air Force Times, are already planting the seed, and those are service members who are standing to, for their nation, because most of them are nationalists, patriots, not globalists. But we're already planting the idea in their minds that, oh, they're just going to be so powerful. Well, let's not fight them. Let's find another way. So we're already being told we're going to be defeated, and there won't even be a shot because the enemy is becoming so powerful, you just won't have the will to fight them. So you're defeated before there's even a fight. Of course, it doesn't help that, you know, we're making them so wealthy. That's a whole nother topic. Another story. This is from Alerts USA. U.S. prepares for new clashes with caravan migrants. Migrants? They're invaders. They need to revise that headline. This came out just, yesterday? So here's the headlines, the highlights from the last week, starting on the 25th. Alerts USA monitoring the buildup of heavily armed federal law enforcement on the U.S.-Mexico border as large groups of migrants prepare to approach San Ysidro crossing, and also that day, large migrant group currently rushing toward the border crossing at the same place, and San Diego, clashes with Mexican police, live stream links sent via email. And I thought it was interesting this week where I saw the situation that essentially Mexico helped to create. They're pretending to be pushing back the migrants, but they're also being, the migrants, the invaders, are actually being helped along the way. What appears to be actual government help, or the government's looking the other way in Mexico. And now Tijuana is requesting international aid because of this crisis. So, the DHS on the 25th suspended all north and southbound vehicle traffic at San Ysidro and San Diego crossing. The DHS suspends all north and south pedestrian traffic at the same place. This border crossing is now fully closed. That was on the 25th. Then on the 30th, 5 days later, DHS says, given the ongoing threat at our southern border, today U.S. submitted a request for assistance to the Department of Defense to extend its support through January 31st, 2019, because the military was talking about pulling out. So things have not simmered down there at all. It's just nobody wants to talk about it in the news, in the slipstream news. But it's still a very real issue. From One News Now, a couple of young artists, Christian business owners in Phoenix, They're hoping that a legal challenge to a local ordinance will usher in a happy new year for them. Artists Joanna Duca and Brianna Koski believe in traditional biblical marriage. How extreme! A belief that brought them into conflict with a Phoenix City ordinance as owners of Brush and Nib Studio in the capital city. There's a link here. We'll put in the highlights and resources posting so you can read up on this yourself. Or you can just go to One News Now, and this article's right at the top as of today, tonight. The Arizona Supreme Court will decide in January whether to rule in favor of Duca and Koski or uphold a lower court's ruling that says the artist must comply with an ordinance that requires they do artwork for all weddings, regardless of their religious objections. So much for, you know, religious moral conscience and that being protected by the government, which is their duty to protect all moral and religious sentiment. It's your constitutionally protected right. It's a God-given right. The Constitution just simply codifies it. And that's a charge to the government to protect that right. But that's not what's happening. So the attorney representing Duca and Koski explained this is a preemptive challenge, meaning the artists are challenging this ordinance before they're found guilty of violating the ordinance, which requires fines and even jail time for guilty parties. Unreal. In America, this is America. People do not get numb to this. Don't shrug and blow this off and just become numb. Another article in One News Now. Dreading a repeat of President Donald Trump's victory over his Democratic challenger for the White House in 2020, Google employees were exposed through internal documents debating whether they should buy conservative news outlets when internet users utilize the company's search engine. Two prominent right-leaning news sources specifically discussed in the conversations included the Daily Caller and Breitbart News, as seen through an internal thread written by an engineer. So they're finding ways to bury, specifically identifying those that are conservative-leaning organizations and finding ways to bury them in the Google search results. Let's bring it a little closer to home. Readout News, doing a great job, as always. They've got a few articles over there, but one in particular, Montana Election Analysis, is an article that got posted that was written by Alex Barron from the Charles Carroll Society. It says that it appears the Montana political redoubt held fairly well during the partial blue wave election of 2018, such as it was. Before the 2004 elections, Montana was a Republican trifecta state. It had Republicans in charge of all three state branches. And in 2004, Democrats took control of the state Senate and the state's governor's office. In 2008, Republicans retook control of the state Senate. And unfortunately, Governor Steve Bullock, a Democrat, was elected to a four-year term in 2016. Steve Bullock has made no secret of his desire to run for president against President Trump in 2020. Good luck. So he vetoes any conservative bill that is not backed by the wealthy Democratic ultra-liberal globalist nobility from the coasts. Now, in 2016, Greg Gianforte ran for governor of Montana as the Republican candidate and distanced himself from President Trump, big mistake, losing to the Democratic governor Steve Bullock by 6%. See, if he would have latched on to President Trump and stopped trying to play games, he'd probably be governor. So in 2018, Greg Gianforte embraced President Trump and his policies. Republican Greg Gianforte, whom unwisely body slammed a liberal reporter, which I thought was funny, won in the House race over a liberal by 5%. This is fairly significant because there was a libertarian in the race who took approximately 3% of the vote. So he actually probably would have won by way more than just 5%. But somebody wants a fighter. It was interesting. I was watching an interview with President Trump, And the interviewee, somebody from the media, I can't even remember who it was, they were recommending, you know, do you think you'll appoint so-and-so? You know, he's a really nice guy. He's well-liked. And Trump said, well, he is a nice guy, but I don't want a nice guy. I want a killer. And this, in the fight, you've got to be a killer, figuratively speaking. I mean, you have to be willing to fight hard because of the challenges that we're up against for our values and our ideals and our heritage. And I agree, you got to be a fighter. So isn't it interesting, this guy unwisely body slammed a reporter and he ends up winning by 5% when he ran the House race. Also, they've got a couple of other good articles over there. Globalism is treason against your country. Should read that. That came out on the 15th of November. And then another one that came out the day before, political violence and the media. Very interesting. Let's go to our rhino pack, the Republican or the Rhino Hunters of the Inland Northwest Political Action Committee. You can go to rhinopack.org. That's R-H-I-N-O-P-A-C, rhinopack.org. From their stark, raving, mad page, keying in on articles across the country. Here's one, vending machine abortions. This just came out on the 30th of November this week. A number of American Ivy League universities have moved to install vending machines which dispense Plan B, the morning after abortion pill. After having unprotected sex, students at Yale and other top-tier campuses will soon be able to obtain the morning after drug from campus vending machines. Students believe the purchase of the abortion-inducing drug from a machine will be much more convenient and far less humiliating. The point of this is to make Plan B more accessible and to make medications in general more accessible, said Elena Valdez, a Yale College Council student representative who spearheaded the installation. Good on you, such a good little social justice warrior. Hopefully, this will set a precedent for more machines to show up around campus that contain other things. So Yale students don't have to go out of their way to go to CVS, especially students from new colleges. Oh, yeah. Don't want to make it too hard for them to murder their unborn children. And then their article here, another one from Stark Raving Mad. Hobbits are racists. In an absolutely stunning development, it has been revealed that all non-Orkian inhabitants of Middle-earth were racist. Prominent sci-fi author and pointy-headed leftist Andrew Duncan theorized that most of the characters, be they hobbits, dwarfs, elves, or humans, prejudged the mistreated and understood orcs. This is real. This is actually news. This is actually news in America, people. I mean, the Rhino Pack tracked this stuff down, and it's so appropriately named. We've gone stark raving mad. They believed that all orcs to be evil by nature. We're talking about fictional characters from a story. Judging an entire race by the actions of just some of their members, even if that number is 100%, is the very essence of racism. It's hard to miss the repeated notion in Tolkien, the author of Lord of the Rings, that some races are just worse than others, or that some peoples are just worse than others, declared Duncan. Mr. Duncan must be the product of one of our elite Ivy League universities. How else could he possibly become so incredibly stupid? This article says. Oh, wow. Okay. I've got one before we take a break here. I want to share with you guys. This came from a listener, and he's talking about, well, I'll just read it to you. He says, just wanted to let you know that Idaho isn't exactly the land of the free either. A woman that works in our department is family members near Boise. Lately, the last two times, she has just crossed the state line, and once she was followed into the rest stop, ordered out of the car, and harassed, forced to do a drunk test and tore her car apart, breaking a plastic piece of the trunk, tried to get her to admit she was a drug dealer, detaining her to the point she almost peed her pants, which is why she went to the rest stop in the first place. The traffic stop excuse was what she didn't signal was that she didn't signal for the full 5 seconds before she hit the exit. She was quite shaken, but she was quite angry and tried to inform of her rights as if that would have helped. So last week, the same thing happens. As soon as she crossed the border, state troopers jump on her again. Reason for the harassment this time was the exhaust is louder than most. And then they give her the 20 questions, etc. She didn't get a ticket either time. They were just using that for a probable cause to harass her, apparently. So this person says, of course, I'm a YouTuber and I've watched with great disgust as I've seen Idaho state troopers harass others. Government out of balance everywhere, sorry to say. Then there's a report that he references, which I talked about before, where agencies, civil asset forfeiture, where they rake in $4.5 billion per year that goes straight to their bottom lines. And that's more than thieves take. Who are the thieves? He asks. Okay, so a couple of things here. I've been saying it right off the bat. First sentence, just want to let you know Idaho isn't exactly the land of the free either. Okay, well, here are your options. California, Colorado, Illinois, Seattle. The immigrants who've come here legally, especially those who have come from foreign communist countries, have been warning us repeatedly that we must fight and defend Americanism because there is nowhere else to go. Now, I've been saying this for a long time, and this is what prompted James Rawls to call for migration movements to certain places that are very, very conservative. Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, the American Redoubt. The American Redoubt is one of the places, but I've been telling you, I'm going to keep saying it, you have to fight for liberty in the American Redoubt, because if you don't, you're going to lose it. There is nowhere else to go other than America. So within America, there are some places still that you can go that aren't as bad, that are extremely conservative politically, socially, religiously, even economically. The American Redoubt is a very conservative area. But these things do happen. Abuses by law enforcement do happen. And what you need to do is contact your elected officials in those areas and let them know what's happening and put pressure on these law enforcement so that we can preserve the American Redoubt, continuing to be the conservative bastion that it is. But we still have human beings with sinful natures that are tempted by things like this civil asset forfeiture, raking in $4.5 billion per year. That's an issue. That's a serious issue. And that's one of the things we need to do is take that away from them. And there again, it goes right back to contacting your legislators. They're going into session. They have been attacking the civil asset forfeiture program that law enforcement has, where they seize everything you own. They sell it off and they get all the money for it. That's got to come to an end. Without even being convicted of a crime, they're seizing assets that aren't even related to a crime. That's why they're trying to get people to admit that, you're a drug dealer. You find some prescription drugs or something like that in your car that maybe you had a toothache and you get some type of prescription drug, painkiller or something like that, and or you borrow some from your spouse because now you have a toothache. That's all they need. This has got to stop. You've got to get a hold of your legislators who are going into session right now, who are on the attack. There are many of them. I was talking to Representative Heather Scott, Idaho, about this. And they need more and more ammo. You need to contact the Idaho state legislators. If you're living in Idaho and you experience something like this, or anywhere you are, so that they can go after this and put a stop to it. These stories need to go to them, and they need to go all the way to the top with it. They need to build up an arsenal of information and stories with testimony of citizens so that they can put an end to this kind of stuff. So there's no more incentive to do this kind of type of harassment against citizens. It's unacceptable, and it absolutely should be protected. Citizens should be protected from this, especially in the American redoubt where it is ultra conservative. So fight's on. It's coming. These things, this type of stuff happens all over the country. We're not exempt, so we need to push back. We'll be right back. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is we would fail as a new state because we'd be too poor. Too poor? Please, let us wallow in the poverty of our mines, our forests, our hydropower, our data storage centers, our tourism, and our manufacturing. Please, let us wallow in being first in the United States production of apples, Concord grapes, red raspberries, pears, sweet cherries, and hops. Let us wallow in being the second largest potato, wine, onion, edible pea, apricot, and lentils producer in the United States. Please let us wallow in being the third largest hay producer and the fourth largest wheat producer. Oh, and most all of those are grown in the proposed state of Liberty. So Seattle, if we're such a bunch of welfare freeloaders that would be so poor and have been so burdensome on you, why not let us go then? Put up or shut up. At least that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican.
We are back, and this is segment two. Segment two of Radio Free Redoubt is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots get strategically relocated to the panhandle of Idaho in the heart of the American redoubt. Go to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com to learn more. All right, now, this is not, if you didn't listen yesterday, I actually aired a part of, I actually aired the audio from the Bard of the American Redoubt. That is at the Charles Carroll Society, a podcast and a YouTube channel promoting the American Redoubt. Alex Barron, I've known him for several years, has become a friend of mine. And he made a point, and that is that it's an important point. The American Redoubt movement is not a prepper movement, survivalist movement. That is actually a misconception by the slipstream media and the leftists who are trying to figure out what the American Redoubt is, and they just can't quite put their finger on it. It is a political migration movement, someone who does not feel welcome anymore where they were living. They feel like the whole community's ideals and values are in conflict with their conservative, oftentimes Christian values and ideals. And they want to move to where the majority of the people share the same values and views. And so they move to those conservative areas, identified one, the most prominent one, the American Redoubt. And that's pretty much all there is to it. So it's not a prepper, and this isn't a prepper podcast, although we do strongly support self-reliance to be able to get through a difficult time, a disaster, a natural disaster, or whatever. It could be war. It could be an earthquake or hurricanes. And I put a lot of emphasis on emergency communications, which I'm going to get to a little bit later in the show tonight, because we had an earthquake in Anchorage and amateur radio operators were on the air immediately, calling out for emergency traffic. So, in the past though, I've done several articles I've done some articles, but I've done several segments on the EMP threat, the electromagnetic pulse threat, including some mitigation steps over the past several years that you can do to minimize the effects or increase your chances of getting through such an ordeal, including protecting some of your electronics and sensitive equipment that could be affected by this. Now, I've always promoted a couple of books, especially for folks that are brand new to the whole concept of prepping, because I think it's very important that you take a balanced approach, but as an attention step to get your attention about how real a disaster could be. There are two books that I recommend. One of those, of course, is by James Rawls, and that's Patriots, A Novel of the Coming Collapse. It follows a group of very prepared individuals who had been preparing for years, and it is kind of a how-to manual on how you could store up food and fuel and tools and things like that to get you through a societal, economic type of collapse in America. But there's another book that kind of is the opposite end of that. It is an extreme worst-case scenario about an EMP, and it's called 1 Second After by William Fortune. This make a good Christmas idea. If you're looking for Christmas ideas, someone that you know may not have read 1 Second After by William Fortune. We'll put a link in the Highlights and Resources posting. And by the way, for all of your Christmas shopping, if you could just remember to go over to Amazon, click on the Amazon links to do your ordering, that would be really helpful. Those are affiliate links, and that helps us out. But this book, 1 Second After, follows a group of people who are largely unprepared and some of the calamity that befalls them. Of course, it's a worst case scenario. Electricity is out. Communications is out. All electronics are out. Our telecommunications and transportation infrastructure, all of that fails. So it gives you a good idea. But he truly is an EMP expert. He's given testimony to Congress, and he says very little has been done about the EMP threat. So I did a show in 2012, and in the Highlights and Resources posting from that, I posted an interview with him where he was on Fox News. So here's just a little snippet of that. Full credit goes to Fox News for this interview. But I want to just take you back to this and encourage you to go back to that posting and watch the whole interview. But just kind of to get your attention a little bit here, I want you to hear what he had to say then. And unfortunately, not much has changed, which I'm going to talk about here in just a minute.
William Fortune, an expert in what's called an electromagnetic pulse. He's also the author of the book 1 Second After. Sir, good morning to you. Are you out there?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Listen, is North Korea capable of this?
Fully. We are dealing with at least two rogue nations. On February the 3rd, Iran launched a satellite. That missile is an ICBM. North Korea is obviously preparing to have ICBMs. And with such weapons, an EMP weapon, meaning a small nuclear bomb, detonated above the center of the United States would literally take down the entire power grid of this country.
Wow.
Plunging us back 300 to 400 years.
That is remarkable. We didn't think about that when they were launching that missile. Now, why are you thinking about that?
Well, as they were prepping up for that missile launch, I was out at a conference near Los Alamos of our country's leading experts. That was one worried crew. This is a real threat. We know about it. And the frustrating aspect of all this is we have two wonderful congressmen, and Congressman Roscoe Bartlett and Benny Thompson of Mississippi, Bartlett of Maryland. They had a commission that put reports out on this years ago that projected 90% of all Americans could be dead within a year after such an attack.
What are we doing, or what are we working on to prevent it?
Nothing.
Okay, nothing. That's a little disconcerting, isn't it? Well, why am I bringing this up? Because that was from 2012. Well, just this week, there was an article that came out from the Washington Examiner titled Military Warns EMP Attack Could Wipe Out America Democracy World Order. So this is from November 30th, so just a couple days ago. It says In an extraordinary and sobering report, which is linked here from within this article, we'll post the links to this article on the Highlights and Resources posting. In an extraordinary and sobering report meant to educate the nation on a growing threat, a new military study warns that an electromagnetic pulse weapon attack, such as those developed by North Korea, Russia, and Iran, could essentially challenge the United States and displace millions. Here's a quote. Based on the totality of available data, said the report from the Air Force's Air University and provided to Secrets, which is the name of this, military, Washington Secrets is the category of this news. So, an electromagnetic spectrum attack may be a threat to the United States, democracy, and the world order. We don't want to threaten the world order. The report titled Electromagnetic Defense Task Force and the product of a mostly classified summit of officials from 40 agencies just outside of Washington earlier this year is a forceful call for a new focus on preparing for either an enemy EMP attack or a natural hit such as a solar storm. While it is focused on the devastating impact an EMP hit would have on the military, it appears to support a congressional warning that up to 90% of the population on the East Coast would die in a year of an attack that would dismantle or interfere with electricity, transportation, food processing, and healthcare. Consider just some of the warnings in the report from the United States Air Force Air University and the Curtis E. LeMay Center for Doctrine, Development, and Education. Citing figures from the Union of Concerned Scientists, the report says several bulleted item lists. Let me go down through some of these for you. 99 nuclear reactors would likely melt down without electricity to cool them. Isn't that interesting? Nuclear reactors create electricity, but it takes electricity to support them. It's all electronically regulated. 4.1 million would be displaced from areas around the nuclear plants as the radioactive cloud spread. Military and commercial jets, such as those built by Airbus, could be degraded. Alarmingly, aircraft designed to carry large numbers of people and sizable cargo are allowed to operate without certainty about their level of resilience against an EMP. Bases would be cut off, making defense and counterattacks impossible. Civil unrest would start in hours. Power and GPS could go dark. An EMP would cause instantaneous and simultaneous loss of many technologies reliant on electrical power and computer circuit boards such as cell phones and GPS devices. Failures may include long-term loss of electrical power due to loss of emergency generators, sewage, freshwater, banking, landlines, cellular service, and vehicles. 18 months or more are required to replace key elements of the electrical grid that would be damaged or knocked out. Now, these are all from an official government report. This is not conspiracy theory stuff here. Just for, you know, our SPLC friends that are listening in to say, aha, these guys are planning for the end of the world. No, this is just a report that came out from our own government. And they're saying some stuff needs to be done. Now, if it's true, it would be prudent for us to take certain measures into our own hands, such as ensuring that we have enough food and the ability to purify water, the ability to eat or produce food, store up enough food to last an indefinite amount of time, and provide for your own services, such as medical and first aid. These things only make sense. So make fun of it all you want. The rest of us will be being prudent and wise by taking some measures here to mitigate some of the effects of this so that we can come out the other side and be part of the process of rebuilding our nation. Now, continuing on here, figuring out just which country launched an attack would be difficult since certain weapons could be delivered in a satellite check this, key in on this sentence right here. Figuring out just which country launched an attack would be difficult since certain weapons could be delivered in a satellite. It also noted the development of the 5G mobile network and how it will run communications and why it must be protected, especially since China is the biggest investor in its development. Because control of 5G is roughly equivalent to control of the internet, open 5G is critical to freedom and free market economics. Meanwhile, access to the 5G millimeter wave band will be critical to operations in all warfighting domains, in particular, space command and control, said the white paper. So, Lieutenant General Stephen Quast, the commander of Air Education and Training Command, said, as electromagnetic technologies fuse in new and often dangerous ways, it's critical that the military and industry make honest evaluations of present and future conflict states to ensure we're proactive rather than reactive. He also advised for predicting how U.S. foes will try to outsmart any fixes to the electric grid and other targets of EMP attack. French actions before World War II demonstrate that even bold actions such as building the Maginot Line can be rapidly overcome through imagination. The imagination that defeated the Maginot Line was the German Blitzkrieg, which unexpectedly exploited the only gap in the wall. So anyway, this goes on and on. Let me skip down here to the bottom. The potential for an adversary to inflict damage on states through EMS attack has grown significantly, said the 69-page report, which warned an EMP attack affects all devices with solid-state electronics and could render inoperative the main grid and backup power systems, such as on-site generators. It highlighted the lack of a reaction plan or major focus on EMP attack, even if just from a solar flare. In some areas, there is a complete absence of strategies, said the report. It added, EMP is a tragedy of the commons as no one's job, Jar. Okay, so essentially nothing's changed in the last, four years, since 2012, when we were warned before that things just are not taking place like they should. So that leaves us to this article here. Remember when I said keyed in on satellites, potentially? Now, we know that Russia is developing satellite killer weapons, including other satellites. But this article just came out here from thedrive.com, and it's under a category, the war zone, and it's the title of the article is Russia just launched five objects into space. One problem, there were supposed to be four objects. So it's interesting, and thank you to the Amron operator who keyed in on this article. The Russian military says it successfully placed three classified communication satellites into orbit today. This was a couple days ago, or yesterday, along with the upper stage of the rocket that put them there. But according to the U.S. military's Combined Space Operations Center, or CSPOC, a fifth object, possibly another unannounced satellite, may have hitched a ride into space on the launch. So the Rotok Briz KM launch vehicle blasted off from Pad 3 at Site 133 in western Russia just before 5:30 p.m. local time there on November 30th. And that's according to Russia's spaceweb.com. Now, at approximately 7:12 p.m., the three Rodnet communication satellites had deployed into their assigned orbits. Now, this is where it gets interesting. This would all be rather banal had the CSPOC, as well as the U.S.-Canadian North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, not recorded the launch slightly differently. Information on spacetrack.org, a U.S. government website that publicly releases data on space launches from their CSPOC and NORAD sites, listed objects A through E as resulting from the launch from Plesetsk. This is in Russia. This would include the three satellites and the upper stage, but a fifth object is unexplained. It's possible that the upper stage simply fragmented into multiple pieces that were large enough for the U.S. military to track independently. Three of the objects, A through C, have essentially the same perigee, the point of their orbit at which they are nearest to the Earth. The other two objects, D and E, share a different general perigee. So, they said we're sending three things up, and the fourth thing would be the rocket motor. But there's five things up there. Something else that they didn't tell everybody about. So, interesting. There are... I think that we need to take it seriously. I know that the Russians in the late 40s, early 50s, I covered this in one of my articles. I just remembered this. I covered it in an episode quite a while back. The EMP testing that they did with the technology they had before they had enhanced EMP producing warheads, where it took out power and fried wiring harnesses on trucks from the 40s and 50s over, I think it was Kyrgyzstan. I've got to pull that article up again. These guys have been working on this for a long time. The Russians have been working on this for decades. But also in 2015, I covered this also on the radio station, KTW, 6:30 a.m., on Liberty Broadcasting. And that show on the 11th of July, 2015, we'll link it from our highlights and resources posting here. It was titled EMP Threat and Solutions. And I did an interview with James from EMP Survival Systems. He's talking about the EMP threat and what you can do to protect your valuable electronics from EMPs and CMEs as coronal mass ejections. I'm going to try to find the audio link to this interview, to this show, so we can also link to it from the highlights and resources posting. I couldn't find it in time. But there are definitely things that you can do to mitigate the effects of the EMP threat. William Fortune over at his onesecondafter.com website has things that the average person can do to mitigate the risk of EMPs, to protect electronics so that you can be functional, operational. I know many of us in Ameron, we have Faraday cages that we have constructed to protect our electronics and always strive to have a backup of everything. It's not easy to do, and not everybody does do it because it's cost. You can put your stuff away and not practice with it, or you can have your stuff out and practice with it and be proficient, but you are vulnerable to an EMP or even a powerful CME. So the next alternative is to, or the ideal alternative is to have two of everything. Two is one, one is none, right? And three, if you can, but have backup and alternative laptops and even a HF rig and other electronics stowed away in Faraday. But you can go to a commercial outfit like the EMP Survival Systems from this guy James that I interviewed. If you look at the EMP threat, this is what they have on their website. We'll link to it again. The EMP threat, the looming threat of a large-scale EMP event, remains one of the deadliest vulnerabilities of our time. And there's a link to there. You can learn more and dive deeper into that rabbit hole once you go to this website, the webpage. Even without a malicious attack by a rogue nation, natural phenomena in our own solar system can cause untold damage. It's happened before, which I've covered, and they have a link to that as well. Fortunately, protection is simple. Using well-known techniques, unfortunately, almost no one is prepared. Now, EMP Survival Systems is bringing robust, professional-grade EMP protection products to the market. As citizens and patriots, we aim to be prepared. Prepare with us. That's what they have on their website. So, you can buy commercially made stuff that's made to protect your stuff from EMP. It's a little spendy. You're talking hundreds of dollars sometimes. And then you can also go down and dirty and look at some of the EMP mitigation steps that you can take. And there's tons of articles, there's videos on it on YouTube. I encourage you to go and kind of revisit that. I'm bringing that up because of these recent developments this week with our own government realizing no progress is being made, and that it still is a threat that could bring us to our knees, and very little is being done to mitigate that. And really, it's on us as citizens to look out for our own families and communities and our homes so that we can contribute and so we can help others, so that we can protect and provide for our families, which we're charged to do by the word, and to help others. And we can't do that if we don't take steps, especially as emergency radio operators. You know, we step up to help people, and you can't do that if your modern electronics and communications equipment is out of commission. Or if you're watching your family starve, you're really not that interested in running emergency communications. So, preparedness is a really, really big deal. And then, of course, I've written several articles. If you go to amron.com or radiofreeredoubt.com and look for the search words EMP or Faraday, you'll see several articles that we've posted where I've covered this on different episodes, and we've linked to different sites and resources for building your own Faraday containers to protect your electronics. More EMP threat updates. That was on, all the way back to 2012 I was covering this. And so anyway, I want to come back to this right after the break, and then we'll talk about some emergency communications when we come back. Just this week, I've got a little bit of audio from that I want to share with you guys. And if we don't protect that equipment in the event of a CME or a EMP, we won't sound like these guys did on the air and like our operators have done during the hurricanes. So that and more when we come back with segment three coming up here at Radio Free Redoubt. Don't go away.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give in, don't back down, and never stop doing what you know is right.
Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy.
And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face.
In your hearts are inscribed the values of service, sacrifice, and devotion. Now you must go forth into the world and turn your hopes and dreams into action. America has always been the land of dreams because America is a nation of true believers. When the pilgrims landed at Plymouth, they prayed. When the founders wrote the Declaration of Independence, they invoked our Creator four times. Because in America, we don't worship government, we worship God. It is why our currency proudly declares, "In God we trust." And it's why we proudly proclaim that we are one nation under God. The story of America is the story of an adventure that began with deep faith, big dreams, and humble beginnings.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense.
You have to put your head down and fight, fight, fight. Never, ever, ever give up. Don't give in, don't back down, and never stop doing what you know is right.
We'll be right back.
This is segment three of Radio Free Redoubt, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, helping you stay safe and help you thrive on your property by strategically designing the layout of your property and also helping you with water access and securing your water rights. They'll help you on your property with food supply, energy production, and help you build security features into your property. And if you haven't settled on a piece of property yet, that's another service that they offer, is to help you choose what might be best if you got two or three options in front of you and you want to take some of those things into consideration. They can help you with that. Okay, so go to strategiclandscapedesign.com. That's the website. Okay, so if you go to Radio Free Redoubt and or Amron.com, you can click on, just type in the words Faraday or EMP, and several articles will come up. Here's one, for example, including an embedded video, gaskets to seal Faraday cages, and then lab testing that was done. The video describes how to use conductive gaskets to seal a metal garbage can or other ad hoc Faraday cages, such as the large ammo cans for putting laptops and other equipment in. If you're on a budget and you need to make something yourself that'll work, I've got another one, EMP trash can Faraday cage testing in a lab. It's also the EMP expert that was on Fox, William Fortune, the author of One Second After. We'll also put a link to that book in there. I think I already mentioned that. But in that one, on February 26th of 2012, I did a couple of shows back-to-back talking about the EMP threat. And there was an article that I put in there that even at that time, that points to some of the dangers. And this is from the BBC. And they're talking about the British, who are also sharing the same concerns. Ministers of Parliament have been warning over nuclear space bombs and solar flares, where they're saying the government must take more seriously the threat of a nuclear weapon being exploded in space by a rogue state. Ministers of Parliament, or MPs, have warned. The Defense Select Committee said the resulting radiation pulse could disrupt power and water supplies, the UK defense and satellite navigation systems as well. Now, its chairman, Tory MP James Arbuthnot, said an attack was quite likely. The committee is urging ministers to invest in more hardened technology to cope with such an event. It looked at the threat to the UK's technological infrastructure from an electromagnetic pulse event in space, which could also include the eruption of solar flares, as quite likely. The committee found the government was somewhat complacent about the risks to technology, such as the destruction of computer chips, which could put defense systems out of action. And of course, we'll have the link there so you can read the whole rest of that article. Now, you also have to be careful. There was, in there, we posted another article about the EMP threat from another blog where they did some pretty good research, but then they go so far as to say we could expect an EMP this year. And of course, this is what, 2012 when they're saying this. Be very careful about people that are saying expect an EMP this year. Now, there are things politically, socially that point to instability. But to go so far as to say something is going to happen this year, especially something like an EMP, and then it comes and goes and nothing happens, you're going to lose a lot of credibility and people's interest real quick. So it could happen next week, but so could the Cascadia subduction zone, massive earthquake and tsunami off the coast of California, Oregon, and Washington, and British Columbia, which scientists are saying is coming. It's a matter of time. But to say it's going to happen this year, that's a problem. Don't do that. And be wary of people who do say that, whether it's an EMP or an earthquake, right? So, I want to just point those things to you guys so that you can be prepared. And we need to be able to be on the air and be ready to help people like we've done, many times. Now, this week, there's an earthquake, reportedly three earthquakes. There's still several thousand people reportedly without power in Alaska from this earthquake that we just had this week on Friday. And these guys took to the airwaves. We had Amron operators, other amateur radio operators on the air right away. And I recorded some of the audio from this, so you can hear what it sounds like. And this is, boy, in a total grid down situation, EMP or it didn't have to be an EMP or a CME. It could be a cyber attack on our telecommunications infrastructure and our electric grid. Could have the very similar effects. Hearing amateur radio operators on the air is going to be music to your ears. So here's just a little taste of what that might sound like. And this is from the earthquake this week.
Yeah, hang on just...
Okay, I'm in Arizona. I'm net control, net manager for the Alaska Emergency Preparedness Net. And from what I got from the hams up there, there's a one overpass down in Anchorage. And another landslide near McHugh Creek blocking the road there. That's on the road outside of Anchorage towards the Kenai Peninsula. Wasilla cutoff is on the park, beginning of the Parks Highway there. That shut down the traffic, and that's a major traffic blockage there. I understand there was initial report was a 7.2 in Wasilla, and the aftershock was a 5.9. Then one report is there were three separate quakes, Wasilla, Big Lake. I'm not sure where the other one center was.
Yep, got all that.
Okay, and then there was the tsunami warnings are up for Cook Inlet and Lower Cook Inlet where Homer is. They're probably evacuating the spit there and clear up to Nikiski, which Nikiski is about 90 feet above sea level, so that won't be any problem. And report from L7LW and LX in Nikiski, they can see the oil platforms. Most of those are all flaring off their gas, lit their gas flares for being shut down.
Ah, see, pretty cool stuff. Now, the guy, you couldn't hear him very well. The first guy that was checking in there, he's with the Salvation Army emergency radio team and Saturn, S-A-T-E-R-N. He was on the air. Several folks were on the air ready to help people out. Now, once again, the cell phone system and all of that's very robust. A lot of people had signal. A lot of folks did not, but they could still drive to where they could just get a couple bars, send out a text, send out a voice message. But there were a lot of people, there were hundreds of people that had nothing. The earthquake had disrupted or severed lines, or one form of disruption or another made even cell phone communications not usable, and the roads. Have you seen some of the pictures? The roads were so upturned and bridges out, damaged, collapsed, and roads impassable that affected folks who had no cell phone service at all. So, emergency communications, it's where it's at. When all else fails, there's ham radio. All right, take a break, come back, and then we'll wrap everything up here. I want to talk about the Second Amendment. And our right to keep and bear arms, and revisit something that I pulled up from the archives from a few years ago, and I want to play that for you from the virtual president. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Don't go away.
Hello, Liberty State supporters. I have such amazing news to share with everyone. You will recall that we had our first Liberty State County Volunteers meeting in Spokane this last September, where we had volunteers from 15 of the 20 counties in Liberty State. We now have had volunteers in 16 of the 20 counties. At that September meeting, we established organized and uniform structured leadership to lead the Liberty State efforts in each county. The county leadership was then sent home with the task of setting up their own volunteers recruiting meetings to bring in more volunteers in their own counties. Since then, they have been busy organizing, posting, and handing out flyers, preparing their locations, and advertising. They are stepping out and getting these volunteer recruiting meetings accomplished. So far, they are being met with extensive support across the board and overwhelming enthusiasm. As of December 1st of 2018, 7 counties have either already held their first volunteers meetings or they have them currently scheduled and locally advertised. Our hats enthusiastically go off to Yakima County, who had their meeting November 27th, Ferry County, who had their meeting on November 29th, Kittitas, whose meeting is coming up on December 1st, and then Klickitat will be on December 5th, Grant County, December 10th, Benton County, December 10th, and finally, Stevens County will be on December 13th. The rest of the counties are all working to establish their dates and locations as well, and we'll share them as we receive them. This is a very exciting development for Liberty State that is going to make our effort increase exponentially and advance very quickly from here on out. So we want to thank all the dedicated volunteers that have stepped up and taken action to join the only effort worth joining today. The Liberty State effort is the only one that will ever be able to bring back our power of the vote to the people of Eastern Washington, where when we cast our votes, we will actually get what we have all uniformly voted and have been voting for over 15 years. What a great day that will be, and it is now within our grasp. So plan to join in on this awesome effort today by volunteering or by donating to the Liberty State effort and make a difference that will actually count. I'm Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Visit us at libertystate.org today.
One podcast dares to be different.
This is segment 4 and the final segment of episode 1842. We're closing it down. It's December. We've just got a couple weeks left here of Radio Free Readout episodes on in 2018. We're going to be 19-01, 19-02. It's what a year. What an insane year it has been for me. My life ripped out. Upside down, inside out, continuing the mission, despite betrayals and challenges beyond what I could even comprehend. But the Lord has been with me. So many of you have been with me. Friends and family, you find out who you can trust. You find out who you can't. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Is during hardship, is during just the trials, really. And so I thank you so much for all of you who have stood by me. Not to drag you guys into a drama or anything like that, but I was consulting with some friends and trusted people, and they're asking, you know, how you doing? How are things? How would you sum it all up where you're at? I said, well, 2017 was the year of the gut punch that took me out and took me down and took me completely out of my mind and out of the game. 2018 has been a year of survival. One foot in front of the other, breathe in, breathe out, and sorting through it all. Devastation, you know, in a family. And then 2019 is about rebuilding and reconstructing and recovery and rebuilding. So I'm excited about this. However, there are some projects that I have to push back because some things that I have to wrap up, and they're very challenging. It's going to take a tremendous amount of energy and time. So I'm pushing back the SOI update. I don't have a choice, guys. I'm sorry. I've been working on it. I thought I'd be able to get it done, but also that and the Ameren University, which we were hoping to launch in January. So those two projects are going to have to get pushed back about 60 days. It's about how long it's going to take for me to get these things that are critical out of the way and necessary for rebuilding and healthy recovery and rebuilding. So thank you for your patience. Thank you guys for your prayers. I just hope you have a blessed Christmas holiday season, and just an honor to be with so many of you guys through all of this. Amazing times. And there's so much of this going on everywhere. The challenges and the trials are epidemic, but we're being prepared for something we don't understand or know yet, but we are being prepared for something. So it's important that we reach down and find our metal and man the heck up right now. So this segment here, segment four, is brought to you by Works Holsters, WERKZ.com. Very good friends, wonderful people. And they make custom-made Kydex holsters and mag carriers right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. So thank you to our sponsors for continuing to help us. And thank you all of you who have stepped up and just made small gifts of $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, just to help keep us covering the costs, the growing costs of doing this. So, in this one, this segment here, just very briefly, I wanted to talk real quickly about the initiative 1639 in Washington State. That was an initiative by the people who, through millions of dollars of anti-gun propaganda, a propaganda campaign to convince the people that you're not really going to be losing any rights by passing this gun rights bill. You're going to be saving lives of children, and no more shootings at nightclubs, and no more losing our young people, And these are reasonable measures and so on, which we all know is a lie. But how this happened was uninformed citizens voted and approved this. See, this is the dangerous part about creeping gradualism toward a democracy and our citizenry not understanding that this is a republic and the fragility of it, the necessity of being vigilant to protect and preserve it. But what happened was, in a republic, we have a limited democratic process where we get to vote for our representatives who must adhere to the Constitution and the rule of law and the law of the land. So the rights, certain rights are protected and preserved regardless of how many people don't want something to be. If it is outlined in the Constitution, the government is compelled to uphold and defend it. The Washington State Legislature did not have the votes to pass the draconian gun laws that they passed. It was through an initiative where the people voted for it. And with enough propaganda, they convinced the people that you're not really losing any rights. You're actually going to be saving lives. And so giving up a little bit of gun rights for guns you really don't even have any sporting purpose for, because you can't hunt a deer with a 30-round magazine and an AR-15. It's just not practical, and those are just the tools for killing people. And so, yeah, we need to ban them. Well, the people fell for it. They were duped. And through initiative, they voted in favor of the 1639. They had enough votes to pass it, mostly because of the leftists on the left coast. So there we have democracy. It's essentially mob rule. The Constitution is there to guarantee if there is still one person left who still wants to own a firearm appropriate for his or her defense, the Constitution says that that is hands off, regardless of the mob, what the mob wants. This, I've always been opposed to citizens' initiatives, voters' initiatives, where voters, they very ever, rarely ever work out in favor of liberty. And there's another case that was lost here. So there was a guy that did a piece here talking about educating our people. He goes by, I forget his name. I saw him speak in Coeur d'Alene at an event a few years ago. A really nice guy, really sharp, extremely brilliant. He kind of ran a information campaign called Virtual President, where he basically said, as you know, as president, and he speaks as if he's giving a presidential speech. So he calls himself the Virtual President. And this was really in opposition to policies that the previous president, who will not be named, was putting in place. And there was just absolutely leftist, globalist, communistic, including the push for removing our right to defend ourselves and our nation and defend ourselves against tyranny. So the Virtual President gave a whole series of speeches and did some videos. And so I aired this, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, and I dug it up from the archives, and I want to share it with you guys. I'm going to close with that. So if you just take a listen here, it makes so much sense. We need to re-educate the citizenry who've been propagandized and duped into giving up their birthright, the right to self-defense and to defend life, liberty, and property. So take a listen.
And now we must turn to the issue of gun violence in America today, because the latest mass shootings in Aurora, Colorado, and Newtown, Connecticut leave us all, liberal and conservative, Republican and Democrat, appalled and disgusted at the carnage. Now, some people, and that includes many of you in this room tonight, want to place the blame for this horror on things like 30-round magazines or semi-automatic rifles. We want to blame something, anything, that we can control. But what we really want to ban is violence and murder and insanity. Now, we don't talk about that, though, because deep in our hearts, each of us knows that violence and murder and insanity are built into the human condition and likely always will be. You know, there are two kinds of animals in this world, predators and prey. No one watches a leopard chase down a gazelle and denies that the gazelle has a right to use its hooves and horns to protect itself from the predator. But there are people in this room tonight and all across the country who would deny that same right to self-defense to other human beings. Such people seem to think that the way to stop the leopard is to cut the horns off of the gazelle, that by somehow making it easier for the predator will simply go away. My friends, this is insane. When you make it easier for the predator, you get more predators. So let's start with the so-called assault weapons, more properly known as semi-automatic rifles. In 2011, the total firearm murders came to 8,583, according to the FBI. Now, during that time, the total murders committed by rifles, all rifles, not just semi-automatic rifles, were 323. That's 3% of all murders. Hammers and clubs kill half again as many people as rifles. Hands and feet murder twice as many. And knives kill five times more Americans than all rifles combined. Preventable medical errors kill about 98,000 people per year. Medical malpractice kills more than 12 times as many people as are murdered in the U.S. each year. That's more than 300 times the number killed by all rifles, not just the so-called assault rifles. And yet, no one talks about limits on hammers or knives or doctors or hospitals. No one does that because the good we perceive from hammers and knives and doctors far outweigh their perceived harm. And yet, studies show that firearms prevent anywhere from 800,000 to over 2 million violent crimes every year. The lowest estimate means that 100 times more violent crimes were prevented with firearms than the total murders committed with firearms. That's 100 times as many. Now, in October of 2007, Amanda Collins was walking to her car after a night class at the University of Nevada at Reno. Amanda had a concealed carry permit for her 9mm Glock that she carried for self-defense. Unfortunately for Amanda, UNR is, like most college campuses, a gun-free zone. So, like the law-abiding citizen that she is, she did not have her gun with her in this gun-free zone when she was attacked by James Bila. Bila raped her on the UNR campus less than 300 yards from the campus police office. He then walked away, and a few months later, this human predator went on to murder 19-year-old Brianna Dennison. Amanda Collins went on to say, quote, "I know, having been the first victim, that Brianna Dennison would still be alive had I been able to defend myself that night," unquote. Therefore, I am directing the virtual attorney general to aggressively challenge any gun control laws that violate Amanda Collins' right not to be raped and Brianna Dennison's right not to be murdered. You're not forced to abandon your First Amendment right when you enter Chicago or New York, or your Fifth Amendment rights when you walk onto a college campus. As virtual president, I will veto on the spot without hesitation, but with a great deal of pleasure, any and all attempts to destroy any of the Bill of Rights of the Constitution of the United States of America. Because when it's all said and done, the Second Amendment to the Constitution is not there to protect us against criminals and the people calling for gun control know this. That's why they want gun control instead of crime control. That's why they want laws that, at the stroke of a pen, turn law-abiding citizens into criminals. The Second Amendment is there to protect the American people from tyranny. The Second Amendment is there to protect the American people from politicians. The Second Amendment is there to protect the American people from us. Now, some politicians claim America deserves a vote on this issue. Okay, let's have a vote. Those of you advocating infringement on the right of the people to keep and bear arms need to go to the American people with the 28th Amendment, which would simply read, "The Second Amendment to the Constitution is hereby repealed." That would, for the first time, give you the legal authority to do what you have been doing and what you are trying to do now in direct violation of your oath of office to defend the entire Constitution of the United States, not just the parts you happen to approve of. So go ahead, go to the American people and tell them that ultimate power is no longer to be vested in the people who can't be trusted with that power, according to you. Tell them only the government can have that power now. You go out there and try to convince the people of the 38 states that you're going to need to get that amendment passed to agree with your opinion of them versus their opinion of you. I dare you. 12 million unarmed men, women, and children were unable to resist being murdered by their own National Socialist government in Germany. Perhaps 50 million unarmed men, women, and children were murdered by their own Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. 50 million Chinese murdered by their own government under Mao, who also disarmed his people. And in Cuba, and in Vietnam, and in the killing fields of Cambodia. Now you say that can't happen here? You say we're protected? By what? By the Constitution that you're in the process of destroying? You are in violation of your oaths of office by so much as introducing this legislation, let alone passing it. My fellow Americans, the previous inhabitants of this chamber watched as 100 million people were murdered after being disarmed by their own governments. Every single one of those men, women, and children were as real and precious and irreplaceable as the children at Newtown. And I tell you here and now that I will be damned if I will let that happen to the American people.
Now, isn't that just refreshing to hear that? It's so logical. A lot of the stuff that many of us have said, I've said, you know, all of these things myself, but it's just a very good presentation. And like I said, I dug it up from the archives. I thought it was worth sharing and worth passing on. It's worth passing on to others, especially as these millionaires like Bloomberg and others from Microsoft and wherever else these billionaires come from and just dump gobs of money into duping the citizens into giving up their birthrights. It's tragic. It's sad. This was not the leftist legislature of, you know, Washington. It was not a judge's decree. This was the people. This was democracy. Democracy. It flies in the face of what a republic is supposed to be, the rule of law, a constitutional republic, where we get to choose our representatives. And they did, through the people, through mob rule, what they were not able to accomplish in their legislature. And that's how it's supposed to be, the checks and balances. so they convince enough people to override the rule of law. And they feel much better about themselves because now there's not going to be any more shootings. There'll be no more shootings in gun-free zones. It's sad. So anyway, positive note. I want you guys to have a blessed week this week. Remember the reason for the season. It's our King. It's our King and Savior who is going to return. And he's a mighty warrior. And he expects us to be as well. Not a jelly spine wimps. We're supposed to occupy and stand for truth and stand for righteousness and not back down ever. Don't ever give up. And you guys have a blessed week. Go forth and be a blessing to others. And thank you for being out there. Thank you for your prayers. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. And if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. Good night.